Thanks for sticking around with us, everybody. And, of course, we always like to have you check us out. Where, Donald?
On thevalleyoutdoors.com.
And the interactive map. You can go wherever you want, find out what's going on in your state or maybe a destination you want to go to. You're going to find out what's cool is happening in that particular state. And where else are we going to go, Ava?
Facebook.
Caught you on that one.
Whew.
Threw it your way and you recovered nicely. Didn't drop the ball.
Wasn't sleeping out on third base.
Lots of things you can do with the Valley Outdoor, so check that out. And speaking of lots of things going on, we're going to be joined by a longtime friend and somebody that I think most everybody has either heard, seen, or watched, or I don't know what else it would be. Dreamed of? I don't know. Ron, would you want to be considered somebody people dream about?
Well, they used to.
Now it's a little concerning.
We have Ron Shera joining us, a good friend of mine, and always fun to converse about various topics. Ron, how have you been? Good?
I've been very good, Eric. Thank you for asking. And when I talk to you, I always can never forget the first time we met. Do you remember?
I do remember. I think we were at Gull Lake at the Adult Teen Challenge. You were hanging out with your 20-foot Ranger and an Evinrude on the back, and we were happened to be talking a little bit of something. You didn't know who I was from Adam.
That's right. And I'll pick up the story there. We were just talking BS and, you know, before the big day tomorrow and or the next day, and I mentioned to you, I said, my Evinrude outboard has been missing a little bit. And you said, what fuel are you putting in there? And I'm thinking, you think I'm putting in some cheap fuel. So I said, no. I said, I'm putting in the high test fuel that you can buy. And you said, that's the problem. You should just use regular. I go, really? And so I started using regular, and the outboard quit missing, so I credit you for that.
It's a volume thing. A lot of times you get the higher octane fuel and it sits. If there is ethanol in it, you get phase separation. So like a crummy running fuel, it's not a good thing. And then from there on, Ron, the funny part from story from my hanging out with you when we went walleye fishing, Ashley walleye and smallmouth fishing. I don't think anybody's ever given each other more crap than you and I did that day. Am I wrong? I mean, it was just nonstop. And then,
well,
go ahead.
We're both pretty good at that.
I think the day ended in a really nice way when I said, Ron, no, you hold a fish like this. that was a choice. And I think one of the other times I really, seriously, in all seriousness, I will never, ever forget is when we went out to the Grand Lodge and we did the filming. You can still see it if you look it up on YouTube, I think you can find the flush. And we were out at the Grand Lodge and I got to hunt with you and Raven and Steve from Outdoor News. And the funny part was Steve was so used to hunting in Minnesota, Don, that Ron and I never had a chance to shoot a bird. Steve
was pulling the trigger, wasn't he?
You remember that? The first four birds, Steve had the bird down before it made it over the top of the Milo, and Ron are looking at each other and it's like, I'll let you tell him, Ron. And hey, I'd like to have a shot, at least a chance. And then we had a new retriever in the field, Ron. You remember that? A new style retriever? The Combine.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right.
The Combine's going along not far from us, and we shot, and the bird went down and went right in front of the Combine, and the guy's like, it's right here. The guy in the Combine gets out and gives us the bird.
Oh, really?
Oh, lots of fun times, Ron. Lots of fun times.
Yes,
and,
sir.
And I know you've been hard at work, not so much on the fun side of things, but really going to work for the people of Minnesota and the surrounding areas, obviously just from the influence, but Minnesota in particular. And we covered some of the topics with MinFish. I know you guys have done a tremendous job over the years. You know, we talked prior to the show, a lot of good stuff going on. Let's kind of do a couple steps back. 2 years ago, Minfish did some pretty hefty things. And, you know, our commentary beforehand was sometimes you got to be the loudest kid on the block in order to get something out of this. Otherwise, they think everything's okay. Take it from there.
Well, Minfish was formed in 2018 by a few of us who love fishing who began to realize our fish hatcheries were going to hell, boat accesses too, and so who was fixing those up? And turned out nobody to speak of. And the Game and Fish Department, our DNR, did not have the kind of funds it took. So anyway, we realized we had to go to the legislature, and its squeaky wheel gets the grease over there in St. Paul. So we hired lobbyists, cost us $40,000 a year. We hired lobbyists to start going around the legislators saying, hey, how about supporting fixing up our fish hatcheries in Minnesota? How about supporting fixing up some boat accesses in Minnesota? And we got enough traction, including Governor Walz came to one of our meetings, and he heard us talking about how fishing is a huge economic engine in Minnesota, but nobody was financing it. Nobody was supporting it financially outside of fishing licenses. And so he got that message, and between him and the legislature and our lobbying effort, we got over $98 million a couple years ago from the legislature to start fixing up fish hatcheries and boat accesses. And so that's a big feather in our hat. So now, there you go.
Now, you guys did a great job. And I know in our conversations over the years, we've talked a lot about the fisheries, and but the hatcheries in particular have been on a struggle bus going nowhere. And that's where Minfish has really stepped up to the plate. And really, you guys have done a great job at really pushing that piece of it, because without the hatcheries, you're not going to have a quality of fishing in the state of Minnesota we do today. And of course, the number of industries that are here and the number of people, I mean, it's like Wisconsin for a deer opener is like Minnesota on the fishing opener. You have so many people there. I mean, it's like 700,000 people go out for the opener, fishing opener every year. And it's such a driver of resorts, business, recreation, everything under the sun. And for you guys to step in and take that role, it's impressive. You and I know Al Lindner were, you know, obviously at the forefront of this whole thing and pushing it. And so, how do you guys go about getting the funding? I mean, you have a lot of people that can, the public can sign up for Minfish and contribute and help that. How does that work?
Well, we take memberships and donations. We're a nonprofit, 501c3 and a 501c4. We have two because the C4, if you're going to do any lobbying, you need to have a C4 category. It's a bunch of legalese that... we have an attorney who donates his time, believe it or not. But we also have some online auctions, et cetera, to help us raise funds, et cetera. Because, you know, sadly, it takes money to do some of the things we're doing. But we're doing okay financially there, but it's always a struggle. It's always something on your mind because we're a nonprofit. And like I said, we spend $40,000 a year on lobbying, which is the big, our biggest bill, so to speak. But Eric, just to go back to what you were saying, I didn't add all this up, but somebody did and said Minnesota fishing is a $6 billion economic engine. $6 billion with a
B. It's crazy. Crazy number.
Yeah, it's a crazy number. And here's one other thing we discovered. We got involved in bait shortages in Minnesota, too. We found out that the bait dealers, the bait wholesalers, the bait trappers, you know, far be it from them to ever talk to DNR about anything or their legislators about anything. So Tom Newstrom is on our board. He's a longtime guide in Grand Rapids.
Good guy.
He got the bait people together and DNR together, and they ironed out some issues because they'd never talked before, but now they talk. But here's what I was going to get at. Eric, is that I didn't know this, but the bait business in Minnesota alone is a $500 million industry. Can you believe that?
That's crazy.
And it is.
And it's such a volatile scenario, too, if you look at it, how impacted it is based on precipitation, weather-related, all those things come into play with the bait business. And having them, obviously, there's significant resources that are regulated in that case. And, yeah, they've got a lot of things they need to – it's great to hear they communicated with the DNR. That's a big deal.
Well, one of the issues, of course, back then was spot-tail shiners. They ran out, Minnesota, and you know how popular and needed, necessary that bait is in opening few weeks. Zebra mussels caused some DNR to say, can't do this, can't do that. But they finally worked it out, and I don't think we have a shortage of spot-tail shiners. One other thing, Minnesota is very protective of its fish, which is good, but they don't allow any importation of bait in Minnesota. Interestingly, Minnesota is only one of two states in the nation that does not allow importation of minnows. The other state is Maine. And DNR is worried about some diseases that may or may not even be a factor. I don't know, but it seems like none of the other states that are worried about it like Minnesota is. Anyway, the show goes on.
See, Ryan, can I ask a question? What year was it you received your initial funding from the legislature?
It was 2023.
Okay.
That's when the legislature, they had $19 billion in money, and they had more money than God, but we got some of it anyway.
Okay. Well, yeah, my next question is it going to be a continued source to improve the hatcheries, or it was a one-time?
That was a one-time, but we are working on one of our next goals is to somehow convince the legislature that they have to come up with more money for DNR fish management. I'll put it this way. If you pay income taxes in Minnesota, not one nickel of your income tax money goes to fish management. And that has to change. I mean, schools and all other needs, they have their hand out, but fishing does too. So we're going to see if we can get the legislature to come up with some appropriations out of the general, what they call the general fund or general revenue.
Right.
That might be a tough haul, but actually we have the need, we have the economic power to do it. But here's something, Eric, that we've discovered too. I think years ago, a lot of legislators fished, maybe fished and hunted, but over time, the number of anglers who or legislators who fish or hunt really has gone down. And some of them maybe don't give a damn about fishing. We don't know. But here's one example. One of the things we've been working on too is there's the only metropolitan fish hatchery in the Twin Cities is in St. Paul on Warner Road. And Eric, it's 125 years old. If you tour it, you can't because it's not open to the public, but we have special tours. It's held together. The pipes are held together and held up on the with duct tape. I've seen it with my own eyes. And so as our lobbyists went around to legislators saying, would you support a bonding bill for $3 million to start engineering a look at the hatchery? Should it be rebuilt there? Should it be built somewhere else? What should we do with it? And this one legislator listened to the spiel about the hatchery and said, what's a fish hatchery? And so one, they're not dumb people, but when this legislator was told what hatcheries do in the metro, stocking kids' fishing ponds, stocking metro lakes, well, then they supported it. But the point is, we anglers, we seem to think that everybody knows our lingo, everybody knows our issues, and that's not true. And so it's an educational process, which is how the lobbying works. They go into, you get 15 minutes, they go into a legislator's office and educate them. And that's what we need to do. When I talk to fishing groups, I say, why do you think we have a 125-year-old hatchery in Minnesota? Why do you think that is? And they don't know. I said, well, look in the mirror. Because we who love fishing, we like to sit around and drink beer and talk about the price of night crawlers, and we pay no attention to what the legislature is doing or not doing for fishing in Minnesota. So that's, we have to change that. We have to be a squeaky wheel.
Well, I think it's important to realize that the pieces and parts that are at the foundation of a quality fishery have to be supported. Limits are only going to do so much, Ron. I think you'd agree with that. You can do so much with a limit, but you have to have the fish in order to have the limit. And if the limit starts to be, oh, we have to have less take home fish, the you suddenly need to look in, as you said, look in the mirror and say, well, why is that? And you look at the base, and it's really, how is that hatchery and how are those fish coming to light? And you know, obviously, if you look at Mille Lacs has a specific type of fish that they're dealing with on the walleye, and so do other areas. But having a quality hatchery is going to be a big thing, Ron. And believe it or not, we've wrapped up 18 minutes, Ron. How about that?
Oh my!
I love it.
I was talking too much, Eric. I'm sorry.
No, that's very interesting,
Ron. That's why you're here, my friend. And as always, we're more than welcome. I may give you a shout another 3-4 weeks. We'll talk a little bit more about some of the topics you covered on MinFish. But really love to have you on the show, Ron. It's fantastic. And as always, keep up the good work. You and Al have done amazing things for the state of Minnesota and all of us that enjoy fishing. So we certainly appreciate that. And good luck on opener.
Well, yeah, don't ask me if I come on next week or a couple of weeks. Don't ask me how I did.
I won't ask. At least that's okay. What I'm telling you right now. All right, everybody. You bet, Ron. Thank you. We certainly appreciate you guys hanging out with us. And as always, thanks for coming on the Valley Outdoors, Ron, and everybody hanging out listening to us. It's always a good thing. Stay tuned next week. It's going to be a great show. Not sure who's going to be on it, but we're going to have fun. Have fun this weekend out in the outdoors and be safe. Enjoy.
Thanks for listening to the Valley Outdoors Radio. Catch us next week, same time, same place. Have a great day on the water or in the field.